Good morning, and welcome to the first ever official Paul Smith podcast. Each week, we talk about three different subjects, a trending topic on the internet. Depending on what that is, the next thing I'll talk about will be something from the world of science, pseudoscience, paranormal, conspiracy. Like I said, it completely depends on what's on the first topic. I don't want to talk about the same thing twice. And then the third thing I'll be talking about is a fucked up tale of the internet. And that's exactly what it sounds like. I'm going to scour the internet, find a fucked up story, do a little bit of social commentary on it. So let's just jump right into the meat of the program. And we'll start talking about digital drugs, aka binaural beats. For those of you that don't know what they are, they really got their start back in the 60s, back when scientists, professors, college students, doctors were experimenting with different levels of consciousness through the use of drugs, whether that be marijuana, magic mushrooms, LSD, DMT, several others. And what they found out during experiments with those was that at different levels of consciousness, our brain emits different brainwave frequencies. And there's six really recognized wave frequencies right now, but I'm only going to talk about four of them. The first is beta waves. Our brain emits those when we're going about our day-to-day lives, general problem solving, we're at work, we're doing groceries, taking care of our kids. Then the next is alpha waves, and our brain emits those when we're in a lightly relaxed state, sitting on the couch watching TV, sitting around with friends having a beer, in a hot bath, any light, relaxed state. The next is theta wave frequencies, which our brain emits while we're dreaming, while we're in a middle to deep meditative state. It's even been recorded that shamans emit theta wave frequencies while they're on their vision quests. And lastly, there's delta waves. Now, our brain emits those when we're in a deep dreamless sleep, when our regenerative abilities are at their highest. It's also been documented that we emit delta frequencies while we're having astral projections and out-of-body experiences. Now, I've been meditating for 6 or 7 years, but it was only about 2 or 3 years ago that I discovered binaural beats. Just browsing the internet one day, came across an article on a website about consciousness, and this guy's story was incredible. Binaural beats had effectively changed his life. So I thought, why not? I'm going to give it a shot. What do I have to lose? So the next day, when I had my meditative session, I threw on some delta waves, and within minutes I was gone. I had a vision, just a crazy fabrication of my imagination. But it was something I had never experienced before. So after that, I thought, I have to do an experiment. I have to use binaural beats every time I meditate for the next 2 weeks, and I need to record what frequencies were used and what experiences I had. The results were so astounding that before the end of the 2 weeks, I had already decided to integrate binaural beats into every meditative session I had. And like I said, I had been meditating for 6 or 7 years. This was the first time I really had the ability to explore my own consciousness on a new level, to expand my consciousness. So the whole thing started a journey, which I'm still on, that has changed the way I think, the way I view the world. It's really incredible to try and put into words what my mind was like before compared to how it is now. Imagine you're standing and watching water break over a rock, and you're so focused on each little droplet of water, each little current as it breaks around the rock. And then when I introduced binaural beats to my meditation, it was almost as if I stepped back and stopped focusing on that one rock and took notice that there was an entire river rushing before my eyes. You're not able to focus on any one thing, but now you're able to see the whole picture. And in the last couple years, my meditation has really, really just changed drastically. Now I can enter a meditative state almost wherever I am at will. No binaural beats, no silence, no chanting, no nothing. Just close my eyes, clear my mind, and I'm settled. Back when binaural beats first came onto the scene, the only people that were really talking about them on the internet were people who were having success with them. It wasn't until they became more popular that we started seeing negative stories about binaural beats, people saying that it was a little shit, that they just weren't working. And from my experience, the people that were saying this were typically people who didn't have any luck meditating on their own. Binaural beats are a very subtle drug. It's not like chewing some mushrooms, taking a hit of acid, where no matter who you are, you're going to get fucked up because of the chemicals in them. You already have to be mentally attuned and already have to be on the journey of consciousness, expansion, and awareness for binaural beats to work. In the last couple of weeks, they've really started trending in the media. And I mean, you might be wondering why they're considered a drug. Essentially, anything that changes one's state of consciousness is considered a drug. But they're not as evil as the media makes them out to be. I mean, look at the major drugs. The only two that are legal, nicotine in the form of cigarettes, and alcohol. One kills you and makes you a social pariah. The other makes people stupid and angry and want to fight, be loud and obnoxious, cause problems for other people. And look at the drugs that are illegal. You know, weed, shrooms, acid, DMT, any drug that really opens your mind and expands your consciousness. And that's the way the powers that be want things to be. They don't want people asking questions and opening their eyes and seeing the world in a new light. They want us to be dumbed down. They want us to be consumers and producers, nothing but sheep. The current world status really is just a new form of slavery. We are so forced into our day-to-day lives that most people don't see that they have the time to ask the questions of the universe, let alone pursue the answers. And I think one of the reasons the media is portraying binaural beats in such a negative light is because of the amount of younger people, particularly teenagers, who are turning to binaural beats in hordes to get high, to experience something beyond the normal day-to-day. Now, it's really funny that if a group of kids were standing out back of a store, pounding back some alcohol, being loud and obnoxious, they're just kids letting off steam, they're just having some fun. But some kids who want to sit down in their bedrooms and throw on a pair of headphones and listen to binaural beats, all of a sudden they're putting their lives in danger. You're just listening to shit through headphones. You don't like it, it's fucking you up too much. You take off the headphones, you go back to normal. It's not like alcohol where it takes hours to wear off. No, it's not like shrooms or acid, you know, where you're tripping for hours. It's literally a timed thing. You got your headphones on, you're tripping while you're listening to the binaural beats, and you slowly come back to a normal state of consciousness. In my use of binaural beats, I have had visions of flying over the earth, seeing suns born and die. I've most recently began entering a state that's referred to as the white state, a place of pure energy where time doesn't exist. And your mind has the ability to create worlds and universes around you. I've also had times where I've just had so much on my mind that binaural beats didn't do anything for me. Now, I think people who want to explore their consciousness, but, you know, don't want to use narcotics, whether, you know, not necessarily saying you have something against them, but, you know, perhaps the law is the law. You have family, your kids, you got a good job. You don't want to risk exploring your own consciousness because the powers that be deem it to be evil. Now, binaural beats currently are a safe way to explore your own consciousness and to really start opening your eyes and realizing that there's more to this world, to our existence than just the day-to-day survival. For anyone that is currently exploring their own consciousness, trying to open their mind through the use of meditation, or anybody that wants to get into it through the use of meditation, I highly suggest even just once trying out binaural beats, seeing if there's something that can help you or not. They may not be, but that's just the way it goes. While we're on the subject of consciousness, I'd like to talk about an episode of Through the Wormhole I've seen. If you're not familiar with the show, it's a documentary series hosted by Morgan Freeman. It's got some really interesting stuff on it. The one episode I want to talk about today is called Science of the Subconscious, and it really goes to prove that our subconscious mind is the dominant mind, not our conscious mind. One experiment they did, they took a man and dressed him in plain clothing, laid him down on a table, and put a special helmet on him, where what he would have been seeing with his eyes was replaced by an image on LCD monitors. Now, laying on the bed beside him, they took a full-length mannequin, dressed him in the same attire, but instead of a head, the mannequin had a camera that was looking down his body. So the man, it appeared to the man as though he was looking at his own body, even though he was looking at the mannequin's. And the scientists took a stick with a ball on it and ran it down the man's leg as they ran it down the mannequin's leg. And the man's brain associated what he was seeing with what he was feeling. And after that, they pulled out this knife and held it in front of the camera so it looked to the man as though they were holding a knife over his stomach. And they began to run the knife along the mannequin's stomach, its legs, piercing into it just a little bit. And the man was feeling as if he was being sliced and stabbed. And that led them to this crazy conclusion that the brain can't discern from internal and external stimuli. It's all just stimuli to the brain. So the scientist turned his findings into a scientific paper and let it loose along the community. And after a couple of weeks, another scientist got a hold of this paper and thought, wow, this is really interesting. Let's see if we could take this to the next level. So he brought in some Olympic athletes, put them down in a comfortable chair, hooked them up to brain and body monitoring equipment, and had these athletes go into a deep meditative trance. And while they were in this trance, they visualized that they were performing their specific events. And amazingly, the same muscles that would have been activated while they were performing their events were activated solely because they were visualizing themselves performing these events. So imagine we could take this one step further, and people who have been in accidents or people who are disabled, who aren't able to use their legs for X number of days or weeks or months, the muscles would normally atrophy. The people have to build up the muscle strength again, learn to walk all over again. Imagine if they were able to just visualize, perhaps even with the help of some external force, whether it be drugs or conscious enhancing software like binaural beats, that they could visualize themselves walking up and down the streets of their neighborhood, and when their legs are healed enough that they can get back on them, they haven't missed a beat. And just like anything that has to do with consciousness and the mind, this wouldn't work for everybody, and the results would vary depending on the person, how strong their will was, how much determination they put into it, how much they were able to focus. Now, maybe this isn't possible at all, but I think that the possibility is there enough to entice more study, more investigation into this, because this could really be a new form of medicine. It, for so long, the metaphysical and some of the pseudoscience categories have really not been looked at by modern medicine, because for some reason, doctors believe if it's not physical, it's not real. So after I saw that episode, I was intrigued. I thought, I wonder if there's some way I can incorporate these findings into my meditation sessions and record the results to see what happens. So that's exactly what I did. After every meditation session, instead of getting up and going about my day, I'd continue to sit there for another 15, 20 minutes and visualize myself at the gym, doing cardio, lifting weights. And this continued for about 6 months. I didn't see any results, but there was no harm in doing it, so I continued to do it anyway. And then one day I met up with a friend who I hadn't seen in a while. And the first thing he said to me was, "Oh, have you been working out?" "No, not unless, you count getting off the couch to grab a soda from the fridge or whatever." And it wasn't until he said that that I noticed, I'm not huge. I didn't bulk out. I didn't, drop 10 pounds or anything like that. But my muscles feel stronger. I'm able to lift things that, were heavy before that aren't as heavy now. Now, I'm not jumping on here and saying that, my increased strength is now solely based on the fact that, I visualize myself working out. That, there's always a number of factors, whether it be just going about your day-to-day life, being at work and shit like that, that's going to strengthen your muscles. But like most things in life, there's never just one cause for anything to happen, and there's always a bunch of little things that build up to something bigger. And had I not been doing this visualization, maybe, I still would have advanced to a certain stage, but I wouldn't be as far along as I am. Again, there's no real proof either way to say this doesn't work or it does work, but I think a lot of it comes down to belief. The mind is so powerful that the placebo effect, even the thought that doing these visualizations could increase my muscle density and my muscle strength, could also go to add and help build that muscle strength and muscle density. So I almost ask that people who are into meditation give this a shot and, see if it works for you. I'd be really interested to hear about the results of your experiments. Is this something that medical science should be looking into, or is it just a fluke set of results that really are interesting but don't lead us anywhere beyond where they already have? And with that being said, we come to the part of our program, the fucked up tale of the internet. A couple weeks ago, as I was stumbling around the internet in the middle of the night, I came across a story out of England. Undercover cops walking through a neighborhood, and especially in London, a lot of places in the States, very few places where I am in Canada, got security cameras all over, on every street light. It's just ridiculous. Every moment of everybody's day is monitored. So anyway, this cop's walking down the streets, and he gets a call from the officer who's monitoring the cameras. "You've got a suspicious guy walking through the same neighborhood you are. You better chase him down and check him out." So this cop then spends the next 20 minutes chasing himself through the streets until one of them realizes that, he's chasing down himself. I mean, everybody has their off days. It definitely gave us a funny story, but you'd think that two officers who are trained should have been a little more aware that this officer was chasing himself through the streets. Before I end the podcast today, there's something else I wanted to talk about. The beginning of the year, I decided to sit down, write a book. Just over a month ago now, I published it. Sales have been really good so far, almost 200 sales worldwide, US, UK, Canada, Denmark, India, Japan. It's really been nice. I've gotten some really good feedback. So what I'd like to do is I'm planning to release this podcast onto the internet on Friday, August 2nd. So I'm making my book free on Saturday, August 3rd, and Sunday, August 4th, to celebrate the launch of my podcast. So I thought I'd read a little dream sequence here out of the book, let you know that you can pick it up on Amazon. It's available digitally, regularly 99 cents. But like I said, for the weekend to celebrate the launch of my podcast, the book is going to be free. So here's the dream excerpt, and I'd like to know what you think. And if you like it, pick up the book and give it a read. John was standing in the lobby of his apartment building. Only the emergency lights were on. John called out, but no one answered. From the corner of his eye, he could see the elevator door slide open. He turned to see the old man step onto the elevator. John rushed over and entered the elevator to find it empty. The door slammed shut behind him. The lights flickered between off and dim, and the only button on the panel was for the 12th floor. As the elevator ascended, the lights died completely. John could feel hands tugging on his clothes, trying to pull him into the elevator walls. The lights flashed on, giving off an intense light, blinding John. He stumbled out of the elevator and his vision returned. John looked down the hallway. It seemed to stretch on forever, but John could see that a single door was waiting for him at the end of his journey. As he approached the door, it slowly swung open, as if the darkness itself was inviting John in. He cautiously entered the apartment. It was darker than night. The only source of light was a single light bulb hanging from the ceiling. As John walked further into the room, the floor began to squeal beneath his feet. One by one, the floorboards fell into the abyss below. The last board gave way and John fell into the darkness. He opened his eyes at the bottom of the pit, and the light bulb, once so dim, was as bright as the sun. The old man that had been haunting John appeared from the darkness, towering over the abyss. Terrifying screeching overwhelmed the silence. Hands reached up from the depths of the abyss and pulled John downward. He tried to break free, but he could not move. He tried to scream, but could not make a sound. He was helpless to prevent his fate. Now, some of the people that have read my book so far have likened it to, you know, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone. It's only about 11,000 words. It's a short novella, just to really test the waters and see if people are interested in my writing style. So, thanks for listening to the podcast.